and hiking. Yes. Here we go. 1072. Fire it off.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Good. That's the best one yet.
Pizza, pizza.
I am short.
Big O! Showtime!
That's kind of fucking weird, but okay.
When you were making egg foo young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing Tech Show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies, tell them to get bad. For the show name, go direct to DLNGS.org. And IC channel is a LinuxLink.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the count is just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 1072 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Joe.
Yep, that's all we have is Joe.
Yeah, that's it, Joe. Just Joe.
Just Joe. It's a Joe show.
The JoJo show. You know what, Joe? It's too bad Dave Yates isn't on this week because he's got family commitments. But I'll get back to that in just a second. You don't have to work with what languages do you work with at work?
Mostly Python, some SQL.
So have you done a fair amount with Python? You've been using it for a while?
I don't write Python, but I end up reading a lot of Python. So work with it a lot, yes. Write it, no.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. The more I work with Node, the more frustrating I get with how it handles dependencies. And because it has, like a lot of languages do these days, a packaging system. So they got Node libraries, you know, like Ruby's got the gems, Python's got the modules. Right? Is that what they call them in Python? Is it?
I think so. Yeah.
Pip modules, Python wheels, stuff like that. And it's just so sometimes so frustrating because sometimes the shit like it just doesn't work together, and it will work. It will like work together for a certain amount of time, and then if you do something wacky like delete your package lock JSON file, it won't work anymore because the way that it handles dependencies just can be really dependent on how it's pulled it from the past and what's in cache and stuff like that. That you end up, you know, we've had that happen before in the past. And this past week, or this past day, actually last week, I we ran into a problem. We couldn't. So there's this library, FFmpeg, and everybody's familiar with FFmpeg, but
should be.
Yeah. So we have a specific task that is to get the duration of a video. Right, and so there's a library that already has that there. It's called Get Video Duration. Unfortunately, Get Video Duration hasn't been touched in like a year, 2 years, or whatever. So it's dependent upon an older version of the FFmpeg static libraries. Like, so what this is. You can install a binary build of FFmpeg or FFprobe in this case, which we were looking for your operating system without installing like the whole suite of libraries and applications. It's just the binary built so it would run. And it only, I don't know how, what the, it's got a fairly large, like, static build out there for different operating system architectures and stuff, so you know, like OS X, Darwin, M1. There's different flavors of Linux, and I think Windows too is all compatible. But here's the thing, because it's linking to an older version of that static library, actually, I don't even think it's just it being the older version. That in and of itself hasn't been like touched in 2 years. And the binary build that they link to or have in there for Ubuntu and Debian-based recent builds, I think it's Ubuntu 20, Debian, I forget which that's based off of. It's broken. Like, it does that binary no longer works because it's compiled against a older library or something, and now it segfaults all the time. So, luckily enough, like, you could technically pass it the path to FFProbe if it's and it uses the one that's installed by the operating system, not this library package. But we were running into some problems with that, and which prompted us to go to a better solution that's kept more up to date. So we, in having moved to that better solution, that was like one problem solved. But that's kind of crops up all the time with Node. You know, you're using something or you have used something for a while, and then it's just abandoned and there really isn't a good replacement. Or what you've been using, they basically say, don't use this anymore, go use this other library, and it's not just like a drop-in replacement. So that happens with some regularity. And then newer versions of the library that come out, you kind of force you to have to keep on going up to supported versions of Node, which is not necessarily a bad thing. I do agree with that, but and it becomes particularly challenging when the newer versions of libraries outpace like some pretty critical libraries that many people use. Like today, I ran into so many problems with trying to upgrade the libraries in our application template repository, which is just like the thing that we check out, archive out, and create a new repo with so that they can begin developing a new application. And, you know, we're in Node with Next and React. So we have like the standard build that you can start with and then incorporate different features. And it's been pretty successful because we stand up applications a little faster if you have all that vetted framework and everything is kind of consistent that we're going for. But I just upgraded some libraries in there and the it just doesn't work, right? It's broke. And I can't figure out why, because I will admit we kind of let the application repository directory, it hasn't been updated in a couple of months, right? And all the other applications we have hooked into Dependabot, which is kind of keeping a lot of things up to date. And I'll go in every now and then and those Dependabot ones that don't pass our test because you need to make code changes, I'll go and make those changes, whatever needs to be done, and help push that through. We all do that, right? So the application template one is a little behind, but it's not doing anything different than what our other applications are doing when I upgrade the libraries or the libraries that the dependencies that it's using. It's just broken. And the same another application using those exact same dependencies and it's fine. Like, and it's bizarre. I don't understand what the problem is. And it's like a beat your head against a wall kind of thing, trying to figure that out. It's very, very, very annoying. How you doing, Joel?
Joel's here?
Yeah, there he is. He doesn't have his mic on yet. He's probably fiddling with a... Anyway. But yeah, this past weekend, I had to go down to South Carolina to help with cleaning out my mother-in-law's old house because she has moved into a new place. And that was a lot of lugging furniture and all sorts of stuff out. And it was the roads.
Back in, set it up. Well, no, around because you didn't like the setup.
Okay, here's the thing. Here's the thing, right? She's already in a new place and all the stuff that she is significantly downsizing because she where she was living is a bed and breakfast that she used to operate, right? So it's like two houses. And it was and a cabin that's there and all that stuff. So she had already moved what she wanted to keep, right? So this is stuff that was just gone. And the sad thing about it was my sister-in-law tried to give a lot of this stuff away, but couldn't. Like, nobody would take it unless you paid them to come out and get it or whatever it was. And nobody would take it, and the Goodwill was, you know, it was difficult to get it to the Goodwill. They were never open on weekends, wow. So it was really hard to get it. So, I mean, it was kind of a shame. This happened really fast, right, with this move, because when we were down there, when we were there in July, my sister-in-law had moved to the town Newberry, which is about an hour south of where my mother-in-law lives. And then my mother-in-law fell in love with Newberry, and she's like, I'm moving. And it's good for her because she's 82 years old, so trying to keep up a farm, essentially, you know, that's what it was. It was a farm. That amount of land, just her out in the middle of nowhere, right? It was getting to be really challenging. So she... And what was left, they couldn't find somebody to come and take it. And just like we had to get rid of a lot of furniture and dishes and stuff like that when we're like into the dumpster, unfortunately. But it was a lot of work. And those roads down there in South Carolina, those back roads suck. Man, they need to put some money into fixing up their infrastructure. And I'm sad that Dave Yates is not here, that I can't yell at him for that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's all his fault.
Yep, always is.
It is. But, yeah, it's interesting that we're talking an hour distance, but, like, what she has in just infrastructure-wise, right, available to her in Newberry is a world of difference. Now, granted, she's pretty far out, and Chester really a small town, but it the only internet access that she could get was satellite, and it sucked up until she was able to get Starlink, and that was like a light and day difference. Like, I think it was HughesNet or whatever it is that she had.
Oh, yeah, it's asynchronous, too.
Yeah, it's you have to – used to be, you know, it's a modem that you'd call, and yeah, that's your upload, and then download comes over the satellite. And then they – I don't know what it was, but it was slow as shit still, right? It really wasn't any better. But once she got Starlink, it was a world of difference. Like, she couldn't – she had decent – like all right download, but it was like it was bad that she couldn't get like a smart TV about 10 years ago.
Yeah,
because it just couldn't
wasn't good enough for 720p.
It wasn't good enough for standard video. It this connection was really bad, and you couldn't like stream any kind of video off it. But then it Then it got better when she got the Starlink, and now she's and all her like monthly expense has just been cut to a third, which is crazy.
Well, but looks like Amazon brought out something you might be interested in, Dan.
The paperback book?
No, the Kindle ColorSoft.
Oh, really?
The first color e-ink display Kindle.
Yeah.
It's $269, so I'm not sure if I kind of like it, but I'm not sure if I'd use it. That's the thing. Because I'm like, well, if you read novels, it's kind of dumb. You know, you don't really need it. But if you have, like, cookbooks or other kind of reference. Yeah. Cookbooks or something that also had pictures in it, that might be helpful. But
manga.
Yeah. Stuff like that.
Yeah, $266 comic book reader, baby.
Well,
there you go. No, I mean,
how much did we pay for our tights?
Yeah, but that did a little more than a Kindle.
True.
And anyway, but still, no, I mean that looks nice.
Does, doesn't it? I mean,
yeah, no, absolutely does. I mean, I have to admit, when I had my Kindle, I loved it. It was so it was so easy to read and on the eyes and everything. I enjoyed it.
I mean, technically, the display on my Garmin watch is similar stuff. They don't outright call it e-ink, but it kind of is because it's the same thing. That's why it has just an amazing battery life. And that's the other thing too with this is at least you'd have color and an amazing battery life on it. I mean, technically they had others. They had the Kindle Fire, which is a piece of crap.
So I'm going to assume that
actually,
I was going to say that
279
has Amazon published color books in the Mobi in their Mobi format. I'm just
in
curious.
Their format.
Like
that is an awful URL. Oh.
Like, do they have a library of? Because up until now, I'm assuming that if they were kind of more on the Kindle side, I don't even know if that's accurate to say because they did have the phone and other devices. So I'm curious. Like I
think they have there is in some. I have to look at because at one point I had, and this is kind of one thing that was kind of frustrating for me. Mostly because I was just blowing some gift card money. But I bought, when I was living up in the apartment, I had bought a copy of the Star Trek The Next Generation technical guide, which I had it back when it first was published. Okay, in fact, I actually still have that copy. I found it after I moved. But I bought the paper version of it. They do have it in Kindle format, but I bought the paper version of it. And it was a really bad copy of the original book that Amazon basically just reprinted. And then in the reprint, it didn't have any of the color that was in the original. Cause it was not that there was much color in that. They had like some diagrams had color and stuff like that in the original book. But the reprinted version didn't have that. Now, I didn't buy the digital version, but I did download a sample, and I don't remember if it had any color in it or not. But it looks like any like novels that have color covers, you'll get the color cover in the like browser on the the book browser thing. But
because now I think about it, when you go to buy a book off of Amazon, it's
color
like
color cover.
You know, it's hard copy, soft cover, hard cover, soft cover, audible,
and
or Kindle.
Cool, yeah,
in
another
Kindle
cool thing
format. But my question is, there's been a ton of books, like, And I'm sure that there's been a ton of books, like cookbooks, like you said, and other books that, have color,
right. Color pictures in them. Right.
Like, did Amazon, when they originally, you know, converted those into Mobi format, did they preserve the color, or did they convert it into just, I guess, grayscale or black and white or whatever you want to say goes in with the Kindle? Like, can, right. if you buy a cookbook, is it going to have the on a color Kindle? Is it going to have the color pictures in it, or are they going to be black and white?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would think they'd be color.
I mean, because you also look at them on a fire and.
Correct.
There.
Well, that's the thing. I've never, like, I know, like, you can buy graphic novels and comic books and stuff like that. I never tried looking at those in my Kindle because I don't even.
It would grayscale it, obviously.
I don't know how that would work, but I did used to read some of those on the Kindle app. Like, I would buy some graphic novels on the Kindle app, and they were in color. So,
right.
But so then again, I'm like, those are, you know, I don't know whether those kind of seem like they would be fit to have color. Right. You would produce them in color, right? But did they do that for the cookbooks too? Or
right.
Is that in there and it can display either one?
Yeah. I know it's – one good thing is it is cheaper than the Kindle Scribe, which is kind of like a Kindle that you can write on, which that's like $400, which I'm not buying
drawing
that.
Drawing tablets are not cheap.
No. But one other thing it has, like, especially for the books or like – probably more useful for things like references is that you can have, when you do a highlight of a text in a book, you can choose the color of the highlight. So it'll have a different color for, you can like have multiple colors in your highlights, which is useful and something you didn't have on the e-ink versions of it before.
Yeah, you can do yellow, orange, blue, or pink. Which I guess are the standard highlighter colors, too.
But yeah, green. True. It's like about time. I'm amazed it took them this long. So, to see, it's for its Kindle 8 format, which is AZW3, Kindle AZW, text, PDF, unprotected Mobi. So, that's good for you. PRC natively,
you
PDF,
know what?
DocX, Doc, HTML, EPUB, text, RTF, JPEG, GIF, PNG, and BMP.
What, it won't do .lit?
No, it's the Mobi. That's as close as you'll get to .lit. Well, .lit, that's the old, what, Microsoft Reader format, right?
Yes.
Does anybody even support that anymore?
I've still got a bunch of books that are .lit.
Interesting.
Well, you know what you said. What version
Caliber
of
does it just fine?
Which version of Mobi does it support?
It just says Mobi. It doesn't tell you what version.
What else Caliber does?
It converts.
Convert books. Isn't it Calibre?
What happened to Joe? I thought he was going to tell us. Did we get it right?
I don't know.
Can you hear me?
No.
No, just, we can't now.
Oh.
Yeah, you said, you know what else it does? And we said convert books, and then you just...
And I said that's right.
Oh, okay. No, we didn't hear that.
Okay. Maybe right. I need to adjust my settings. But yes, that's right. It'll convert it to a Mobi if I need it to. And right. I can also convert, as long as I have the setup done correctly with the right plug-in and with the right information from my Kindle device, I can convert the copyrighted stuff to whatever I want.
Right. It's got 32 gigabytes of storage. Dude, that's a lot of books.
When you were talking about the file compatibility format, what was the first one?
A Kindle Format 8, or AZ, which is .AZW3.
Right, so here's my question. Like, why is that important? Because nobody but Amazon is going to be.
Yeah.
Now that does bring a question to mind to me. Like, if you have one of the first couple of generations of Kindle, I'm sure that they don't support Kindle 8, right?
That's a good question. I don't know.
So
isn't it just like signifying the wrapper that's on it for the
It might be. I'm wondering if it's the new version for ones that have color in the books, maybe.
And maybe that's the case. So my question is it backwards compatible? Like, can a Kindle version 1 or 2 open 8? And if not, do they have to keep, like, multiple versions of the book for...
They just apply a different wrapper on the book. I mean, if you go to the website, if you're on a Linux machine, you tell it to download it so that you can push it to a specific device, it will give you the different formats based on what format's best for that device.
Yeah, I guess so then that's a lot of backwards compatibility they're keeping there.
Yeah, I guess with the different wrappers that are available, but it's not that much work.
No, but it's still storage space. You might say, storage space is cheap.
They're not storing each individual version of the book. They're storing a conversion tool that applies a wrapper to whatever book so that it's in the proper format for said device.
Yeah, but when you buy the book, though, they're not converting it.
Not right then. They're converting it when you download it.
But I thought, so if they're doing, you're saying that they're converting it every time somebody buys a book?
No, every time they download the book.
Every time they download the book. That's what I mean. Every time they download the book, they're converting it on the fly. Why wouldn't they just make one copy of it and then distribute it like that? Would that not be more efficient?
Well, we say converting. I'm saying putting a wrapper on it.
Right. But even then, I mean...
Well, it's because of all of the different types of devices they have, I assume.
Right, but I'm just saying, they... I mean, can they just take a single core, slap the wrapper on it, and send it to you? Or do they have to encode it on the fly or convert it on the fly to that version so it has the right wrapper?
So Kindle format 8.
Because that's what I'm saying. Are they, if they're not converting it on the fly, then they must have a copy of every, like,
version possible? I think they're converting on the fly.
Yeah. So here it is. That format, Kindle format 8, came out in 2011 when the first Kindle Fire was released. All right,
yeah,
so it's been around for a while.
Kindle Fire.
Right. Correct, there were. Let's see. Kindle devices and apps are designed to use Amazon's ebook formats, ACW. It's based on Mobi Pocket. Fourth generation and later Kindles, ACW3, also called KF8, in seventh generation and later. So, no, KF8 will not work on the older ones, from what I'm reading here.
But I suspect that an older version is readable on the new Kindle.
Yeah, I would expect that, yeah.
I would say it probably support up to version 8.
Now, I still will buy the occasional Kindle book, but I don't buy as many as I used to. That kind of changed from back when I had either, I think, the second generation Kindle, the first one that had the keyboard on the bottom, you know. It's amazing they don't have keyboards on them anymore, but unless they're touch keyboards now. But
you don't read ebooks?
Well, no, I do. In fact, I just read one a few weeks ago.
But where did you order it from? Like, what device
Amazon,
are you reading
Amazon.
It on?
I was actually reading it on my iPad, actually, and my phone. So.
Oh, so you're saying is you haven't read a book that you bought on a Kindle in a long time?
No,
but you bought
no.
a Kindle book recently.
Correct.
Okay, I misunderstood what you were saying.
Right. But yeah, one of the reasons is that like one of the first books I bought was I bought a copy of the New International Version of the Bible. Well, when the publisher brought out another edition of the book, Amazon deleted it from my account, and it wouldn't, and I couldn't put it on my Kindle anymore. All right, so I ended up I went to Amazon support and said, "Hey, what happened? I bought this book like ages ago, and I can't get it on my Kindle anymore because I just bought a new Kindle." And they're like, "Oh, well, that's because so and so brought out a new version of it, and they brought back the other one, so you can't have that anymore." I'm like, "Well, you're gonna credit me for that? Because I mean, why should I have to buy the book again?" So that's what they did. So they gave me a book credit so I can get another book to replace it. So I think I got the new version of it. But now it doesn't matter because I don't read the Bible off of like a Kindle for that anymore. I just read it off of YouVersion. That's how I read it. But it's an interesting development. It might actually get me to buy another Kindle again.
There you go. It's a Christmas present.
Aren't there like 10,000 different copies of the Bible?
Well, there's many different translations. Like in my phone app, for YouVersion, which is, there's a certain church that actually started the app, but if I go to Bible and then I hit the NLT button, because I usually read out of New Living, but I have New Living, New International, King James Version, ASV, which is American Standard, Amplified, Amplified Bible Classic, American Standard Version, Books, which is Books of the Bible, New Testament, BSB, Common English Bible, Contemporary. There's so many. And a lot of them are paraphrases or translations. Another one I read frequently is The Message, which is a modern paraphrase of the Bible. That one was done more so like a lot of your traditional Bible features, like verse, number, stuff like that, you know. So you can look up a verse in your Bible. Aren't included, like you don't have like the, like as you're reading the Bible, you know how Bibles have numbers for each different line in the Bible. The Message doesn't have that because when Eugene Peterson did the paraphrase, he wanted it to be a Bible for reading, not for a Bible for looking stuff up in church and stuff. But anywho, that's way too much about the Bible, but for the moment. But yeah, I might see if I can't grab that for my Christmas gift to myself this year. I think that'd be fun. Not to mention the fact that one of the things that I like to do, like I have an older one, it still mostly works, but it has a bad pixel in it. It's kind of distracting, especially for a lot of reading. But what I did on that one is I did buy quite a few survival books. You know, books on bushcraft and stuff like that, and that's what a handy thing to stick on a Kindle's, because the Kindle is the one thing, like you could take your iPad with you or your phone with you and have Kindle books on it, but I guarantee you that Kindle's battery is going to last a whole lot longer than your phone or your iPad or a tablet of any sort. So that's why it's still useful to have a Kindle. But anyway, let me tell you, though, about what happened last Thursday during my sleep study. Because it was amazing.
Got an erection?
No, no.
How do you know?
I don't know how.
You don't know how to get an erection? I don't. Joe, you got to tell me how you got an erection.
I think I know pretty well. I mean, I have a son, so, you know.
Start choking in your sleep and it just happens?
No. So the sleep study was a split study. So they did what they call a baseline study first, and then they did a titration study. Okay. So the bass line goes, and I did fall asleep. I do remember falling asleep, but I do remember distinctly being woken up so she can start the next phase of the study, which was putting my mask on and then starting me at a pressure level. Okay. And then as I go through the night, I guess the goal for me anyway was for her to lower the pressure until, you know, till I got a good equilibrium. Okay. So in the morning, she's told me she started me off at a 20. Actually, I think she probably told me that when she put the mask on and started it. But when she woke me up, first off, I knew something really good happened because of how I felt when she woke me up. All right. In that I basically felt like I had the best sleep I have ever had in 10 years. Easily. All right. So then she said she started me at 20 and lowered the 20, it's 20 centimeters of water. That's how they measure the pressure for those. And I ended at 10. So my sleep apnea got 50% better with me losing all the weight. So I'm really excited about, I don't get the results until next Friday. So I won't know until next week. And I know the one thing I will know is that I will at least walk away with my current machine reprogrammed to the lower pressure. But ultimately what this means, now that my pressure is below 20, I can buy a travel CPAP machine and be able to use that. And I probably don't need BiPAP anymore either. My current machine's a BiPAP machine. It was mostly when I went to that, it was because of my weight at the time when I got that machine. So I don't know if I'm eligible for a new machine yet. I think I got another year before insurance would pay for one. But either way, total cost that I'm talking about, if I bought it on my own, the machine itself is $900. And then to get the accessories I need to have that for camping, the medical batteries that I can get that are rechargeable, about $338 each. So I'd buy two of them and then a solar panel, and then I'd have everything I would need to do the hike with a overnight, and be able to have my CPAP machine on trail. The only thing is if I go for the one I'm thinking of, I may have to switch masks because the ResMed Air Mini has a different way of putting humidity in the stream. It has this little replaceable disc that goes in your mask, and it takes both the air from your water, moisture from the air, as well as moisture from your breath, and feeds that back into the system. So I'm not sure if you can take, like, for example, my existing mask and use that with that. It's something I guess I can ask if I go to buy that particular machine. So I know I can get an adapter that'll make any mask work with it. Because I say most of the time I don't use a humidifier on it, except for maybe in the winter. In the winter I definitely will, because the air gets drier in your house from your heat. But all in all, great study, best one I've ever had, and I'm really excited to see what's going to happen. So
that is great. Do you think you'll get to a point where you won't have to use the CPAP machine?
Well, see, that's the other thing there that I'm wondering, because with the 10 centimeter pressure, I only had two or three events in an hour, and I don't know how many events is acceptable. I don't know how many events I had without it, you know. So I guess I'll find that out. And my only question here, though, is Now, if you ask me if I still qualify for the surgery, would I get it? Absolutely would. Because in that way, I don't have to deal with the machine at all. All right. But, and what we'll see. My question here, though, is my sleep apnea now bad enough that I could qualify for it? Yeah, I guess it's a good problem to have, but, you know. Either way, I'm going to be able to do the things I've been wanting to do, you know, go backpacking and stuff like that, and then be able to sleep on trail. And then this week, I got from Amazon, I got my first ruck plate for rucking. I got a 30-pound ruck plate, and I've gone at least three walks with the plate in the backpack. And let me tell you, it definitely makes you work a lot harder walking.
Yeah, I can see that.
Probably the heaviest thing I've gotten of that size too.
How much does it weigh?
30 pounds.
Whew.
Made out of cast iron too.
Wait, what is it again?
A ruck plate. It's basically a weight. Handles on two sides.
So it's 30-pound weight, and you have to have a special bag to carry this in, right?
No, many people do. Like, you can get a plate carrier, but I just have it stuck in one of my existing backpacks, and it works fine.
It just seems like it would cause an awful lot of excessive wear on a backpack.
The backpack, yeah.
That's pretty heavy.
Yeah, yeah, eventually I want to buy a GoRuck Rucker 4, because I do want to – I mean, they do have plate carriers, which are a lot cheaper, but you can't put anything else but the weight in those. And my thing would be like for the rucks that I went on with lighter gear, the two of them that I went on with the group, I would like to have like the ability to like have an extra water bottle in there or like a first aid kit or like if I started the hike with a jacket and it got cold, then I can have a jacket, you know what I mean? Stuff like that. So you can carry things besides the weight.
So you're gonna do this and like add more weight, and like 10 years from now you're gonna be like Rock Lee, right? You're just gonna drop all of the weight and you'll be able to kick boulders back up the avalanche and leap over the top of cliffs and stuff like that. And you'd just be like the superpower.
Obviously the plan.
Yeah, they call him Rock Gorkon.
Yeah. Well, I see if you go to goruck.com, you can see how obscenely expensive some of their stuff is. The weight I got, which was of course Chinese made weight, was like $30 to buy the same weight on GoRuck, similar plate style, is $115.
So, yeah, I've seen vests that were made to carry a weight plate.
And GoRuck sells them, and there are other ones. There are ones I've found on Amazon too that will fit that plate. So,
but they're like $170.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the denier on my Tom Bin, I will use the one of my smaller Tom and older Tom Bin bags, the one the Synapse 25, which I've had well over 10 years now. So if it wears out, it wears out. I don't care too much, you know. But hopefully by the time I have that wore out, I'll get a Rucker 4. I'm probably looking at the 25 liter Rucker 4, which is about 265. So maybe the 20 liter instead. I don't know. I have to debate that. It's only like $10 difference. So I'd rather have the extra 5 liter space in there.
They're
The rock plate looks nice.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's $120 nice.
What, the Go Ruck one? Yeah. I'll send you the link for the one I got.
Go Ruck. Ruck plate carrier 3.0, $115.
That's the carrier, and then the weight is $120.
Right, right.
Unless you're doing the 10-pound weight, that's what? That's only $75.
That's the one I have, and I just put it in one of my existing packs. I won't put it in my Osprey. I'll say that much. It ain't going in that one because I paid $120 for that pack and I ain't ruining it.
I guess you're paying like $7.50 a pound, I guess, huh?
Well, I guess,
for a 10-pound one. 30-pound is what? 120? Like $4 a pound?
Yep.
Huh.
Yeah, these will fit. The one I have will fit, and really the GoRuck one too will fit in like if you have a bag with a laptop compartment, it'll fit in the laptop compartment. So, but it's definitely changes up the game when you're just out walking. I guess you can do squats with it too if you want to. I did. You ever heard of Bring Sally Up, that song? You have no idea what that might be, though.
Gone in 60 seconds?
Well, basically, there's a song called Bring Sally Up, all right? And you basically...
it played in the movie Gone in 60 Seconds. It was extremely
do they?
Prominent.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so then the whole idea is when it says down, you squat... when it says up, you come up, all right, which means you hold the squat until it says come up.
But it's just a Bring Sally Up workout?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I did that.
Yes,
I did
sir.
That one today.
I like that.
I did that one today.
I expect it more often. From now on, you address everybody as sir on this show. It's Sir Joe, Sir Dan, and Sir David. I like it.
Sir Redneck.
Sriracha. There you go.
So now you said sriracha. Now, have you tried the original sriracha? Does it still taste the same to you?
I haven't had sriracha in a while, but I haven't noticed it tasting. But this is, I don't know. It's a good question.
Because you do know that they changed who they got the peppers from for the sriracha. Yeah, there was a whole hullabaloo on the internet about that.
So people don't like it anymore?
I don't know, man. To me, it tastes the same.
It probably does, you know. There's that one person that could, like, taste it and tell you where in the world the pepper came from. He's like,
well, it's just like not people that said. Place. Well, it's just like people who are from the area of PA that we're both from there, Dan, will
right.
say, since Tasty Cake sold the flowers, they don't taste the same. I'm like, I don't know. Butterscotch crimpet tastes like a butterscotch crimpet to me still.
When was the last time you had a butterscotch crimpet?
It's been a while.
When was the last time you had one before? Because, like...
I can get them.
I don't know. That's a hard one because, like, I would be hard pressed to tell whether they taste any different now than they did when I was a kid because, like, my misremembering when I was a kid.
Right.
My taste
right.
probably changed.
Well, and that's the other thing, too.
I still eat the shit out of a Tasty Cake.
Me, too. But there's a controversy, though, that I think you can now get them with cream in the middle or without cream. And I'm trying to remember if the butterscotch ones had cream.
I have never seen a butterscotch crimpet with cream in it.
Yeah, you can get them that way.
Let me see.
They're one of my guilty pleasure ones. Yeah, they're one of my guilty pleasure ones. Now, the ones I can never find are the jelly crimpets.
I don't think I've ever seen these. Oh my god, I love that. Is that, is it butterscotch cream in there too?
No, it's just plain.
Oh, fuck that.
You know what? You know what,
though? I love butterscotch icing.
If it was butterscotch, that would be awesome, wouldn't it?
Oh my goodness, butterscotch. You could just, like, just give me the icing and put a little, like, icing width of cake at the top, right?
Yeah,
just reverse it. Just reverse it. I don't know. I don't know what they put in that icing, man, but that is like crack. I love it. That,
I know.
And the peanut butter in the candy cakes. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. I always liked my mom would occasionally get the jelly ones too. Those were pretty good. But like I've talked about it before, the pies, I can't get the weird shape. The Contesti cake pies had a weird shape compared to other.
Are you talking about the ones that were like semicircle ones? Or are you talking about the ones that were like a wet? I don't want to call it a trapezoid,
like a
or I don't know. Yeah, the bar.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't want to describe that as.
Right, me either. But
it looks like a gold bar, you know, like you would see in a movie.
Right, right.
It's a little.
Yeah.
Little smaller at the top, then it widens out at the base. Like,
yeah, the only ones I can find are the ones that are literally look like the Hostess ones, which, nah. And those ones are also glazed versus these other ones are not glazed.
Well, I see the bar shaped ones in Wawa all the time.
Well, it's probably because they're Wawa.
Hey, you're probably right. Right off the bat there, they got the supply chain right into the Wawa market. I love the chocolate juniors, and the lemon juniors are really good too. Oh, you know what? You know, this is...
Yep.
We tried this. Because I don't eat a lot of this crap to begin with, but...
Me either.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. A couple of
but every once in a while
ago.
It hits though.
Yeah, like I love a Wawa. I love an apple fritter, right? A Wawa apple fritter was and
there you
I don't.
Go.
I'm trying to think now. Is it It's either a Boston cream honey bun. Like, I'm not a big fan of honey buns, but it's like a Boston cream honey bun that Tasty Cake put out. And so we tried it, and oh my god, it was good.
And they still have them, too.
It's like crack, man. It's like instant diabetes, I guess, eating it, though.
It's got the cream inside the honey bun, too, huh?
Yeah, I don't think there's chocolate icing, but it's just like that Boston cream. In a honey bun.
No, it is. It's on their website. There's chocolate on it.
Oh, there is? And maybe there is. I don't. You know what? It's just, it's so decadent and so bad for you. But there you go.
Absolutely.
Joe, do you even know what a Tasty Cake is, Joe? I don't think they have them down there in Texas.
No, nope. Never seen a Tasty Cake.
Well, there you go.
It's like Hostess, but better.
Do you have Hostess in Texas?
Yeah, everywhere has Hostess.
See, I don't know how regional Hostess is. And I know you probably have Little Debbie, too.
Little Debbie.
Everywhere has Little Debbie as well.
Little Debbie is one of those ones that's like...
International?
It's kind of like, you know how like Taco Bell will bring out a new product and it's just the things they already have... rearranged into a different thing, you know. That's Little Debbie, yeah. Because Little Debbie has Swiss rolls, and then they have zebra cake rolls, which look like a Swiss roll but taste like a zebra cake, and then they have the Christmas tree cakes, which are really zebra cakes that everyone says they taste different at Christmas, but they really don't. Actually, I've tried the ice creams that they brought out for Little Debbie. The only one that was worth it was the Pumpkin Delight one.
Little Debbie is like, the why pay more of snack cakes.
That
yeah, it's
not,
what, three yeah. bucks a box. It's like,
and they all taste exactly the same.
Yeah,
a lot of them do. Yeah, unless you get the, well, you get the cosmic mini muffins, which taste just like the cosmic brownies,
which don't taste like brownies.
No, it tastes like doughy fudgy balls.
Yeah, it's like if fudge had flour in it.
That's what it
basically
tastes like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll eat. You know, I have eaten my share of Little cosmic Debbie's. Brownies in the past, and Little Debbie's in general. I have. You know, I'm not gonna lie.
I liked mostly. I only get them around the different seasons. Like right now, the pumpkin cream rolls.
Little Debbie.
Yeah.
Right, every time I try a Little Debbie, I realize why I don't eat Little Debbie.
Yeah. Right. And then the Christmas
garbage?
Trees.
Right.
Christmas tree cakes, which also taste like the fall party cakes.
Yeah, it tastes like the zebra cakes.
The star crunches are the one things they have that definitely taste different.
I like the star crunch. How can you go wrong? Isn't it just... It's like
caramel and cookies
and chocolate
with
Krispies.
Yeah, cookies with caramel and crisp rice.
And chocolate? I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm, they're good. Well, what's better, Swiss roll or a ho-ho?
Neither?
I don't know. You don't like Swiss rolls?
Really?
Or ho-hos?
Can't say as I do.
I would say,
I think Hostess is better.
Wait, I thought you were asking a Swiss roll or a ding dong.
No, Swiss roll or a ho ho.
A Swiss roll or a ho ho, right? But isn't a Swiss roll the ho ho cake wrapped
correct.
In the icing with chocolate ice?
No,
chocolate?
Swiss roll and ho ho's. No, Swiss roll does have chocolate. They both do. They're almost identical.
They have the chocolate icing on the outside.
Yeah, correct.
Or the chocolate shell, yes. I like the Swiss roll because you get more icing. And it's
I think every bite is
icing and chocolate.
Swiss,
now, it doesn't mean I don't like a ding-dong, because then you can bite the ding-dong and lick the icing out of it easier.
Yeah, ding-dongs are unique.
Although, what my wife has said, that she... Her favorite was the Drake cakes.
Yeah. Oh,
and
I know one she's talking about. The one that has the chocolate cake on the top and bottom and the icing in the middle.
Yes, I believe that's it. Right? She hasn't seen those in years. You know what? I think there was a convenience store that we saw there.
Still exists.
And... Yeah,
the devil dogs.
Wait, is that the one? She got a devil dog. She got one of those, and
she like it.
It was just not as wonderful as she remembered. It was good, she said, but it was just not as wonderful.
Yeah, what's even harder to find than devil dogs? Banana flips.
The hell's a banana flip?
It's a. Basically sponge cake with a banana flavored cream filling in the middle, but it kind of looks a little bit like a taco. They were made by Nickel.
Oh yeah, okay. I see what you're talking about.
Yeah, they're
taco,
made
taco?
By Nickels. They really did have a good banana flavor on them.
I love bananas.
You guys like Taco Tacos?
Choco Tacos?
Oh, chocolate tacos.
Choco Tacos,
the ice cream treat.
Yeah, I mean, can't complain about those either. Are you a big Choco Taco fan?
I was back in the day.
Back when they actually made them.
Yeah, well, I think they still do make them. It's just they taste so bland now. Maybe my taste buds have just changed.
I think that's it right there.
Oh, yeah. They're made by Klondike now.
You can get them in a grocery store, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, you can.
Be able to get them at like 7-Eleven and shit.
Well, yeah, absolutely. You get in that little cooler machine. The cooler, I think they're in them. Like a lot of 7-Elevens that I see have that like horizontal ice cream treat just freezer instead of opening up.
Our 7-Elevens suck compared to the ones in Japan from what I've seen.
They don't sell underwear in yours? Dirty underwear? No.
Or things like sushi.
Would you want 7-Eleven sushi?
Depends. And was it free with the fill-up?
You know, I still think gas station sushi is probably a bad idea. I'm just saying.
It's funny, like one of the he's a manager now, but he used to be like one of the admins. That's the only place he can get sushi in his little podunk New York town was the gas station, and he's like, "Don't knock gas station sushi until you tried it." And I'm like, "I don't want to try it. I'd much take my chances at Kroger."
But Kroger sushi actually isn't too bad.
No, it's pretty good. Sam's Club has it now, too. My only problem at Sam's Club is they're usually huge sizes, and I don't want to buy that much sushi. Because I know happens when Joel buys that much sushi, that's how much sushi Joel eats.
Yeah, if the food's in front of me, it's not going to be for long.
Right.
But sometimes it's nice just to be able to go into, you know, Kroger and pick up some quick sushi and take it home and eat it.
Now, if you ever see Hot Cheeto sushi, don't buy it.
I won't. I won't. That's not a concern.
That's not sushi.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's not a concern.
Now, our Meyer has that, and they have, I want to say... I think they have this thing called brisket sushi.
Doesn't sound good.
Yeah, sushi with brisket in it. I'm like, give me some sashimi, man. Or some ebi rolls.
Not anything with eel sauce on it.
I'm overdue for get me some pho.
Watch out. Ask them where their sriracha peppers are from.
I need to try 6-1 pho. That's the name of a pho place around here, 6-1 pho.
Because I was told by my Vietnamese friends that the number in the, typically when you see it like pho, 6-1 pho, pho or pho 79 or pho 78, that's the year that they came to this country.
Well, 6-1 pho, which is a restaurant here in Columbus, is because we're in the 614 area code.
And that's another possibility too, so.
Right.
I'm sure not every single one, but he was telling me like, yeah, usually if it's like a number like 78 or something, it's chances are it's the year they came to this country.
Now I'm kind of craving all you can eat Korean food.
Bulgogi?
A hot pot?
Yeah.
Do you have a hot pot? Grill.
Yeah, there's one nearby.
Oh, man.
I love me some bulgogi, man.
Who doesn't love bulgogi? Everybody should love bulgogi. And kimchi.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to a hot pot, Joel? Or a Korean barbecue?
Korean barbecue, yes. When I was in San Diego, I went to a place called Mana Barbecue, which was a Korean barbecue place.
And that's where you put the meat on the grill yourself and on at
yes,
the table.
Sir.
Yeah, that's some good stuff, isn't it?
Okay, the place here is called, what is it, Bon KBBQ? All you can eat Korean barbecue.
See, they bring you. I don't think Mana was all you can eat, but the thing I liked was they not only did they bring you the plate with the meat, but they had all these little things that went with it, like, you know, potato salad. Which I'm not sure why potato salad was there, but I was appreciative of it. Maybe that was one of the lunch specials I had. Whatever you
hungry.
Whatever you do, don't buy kimchi flavored potato chips because they're not good.
Where'd you get those? Is that a Lay's flavor?
No, it was. I forget who made them. I did try Kettle made, and they're still out there now. Pimento cheese flavored potato chips. Those are good, actually. I forget. Was it chips or was it pork rinds that was kimchi flavor? I think it was pork rinds.
That sounds worse. Kimchi flavored pork rinds?
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, not good. No, don't waste your time. Get a proper flavor of pork rinds, like barbecue or nacho.
Nacho flavor.
Nacho cheese flavored.
Oh. Not your favorite pork rind, huh?
Now, if you see the microwave pork rinds, give it a try.
What?
Yes, they make them.
Well, what is it? What is that?
It's basically just done up just like a microwave popcorn, but it's got the pork rind in it. So when it microwaves it, it puffs up nice and fresh.
Is there a world of difference?
Oh yeah.
Where the hell you get something like that? I have never seen that.
Was it Walmart, maybe?
Now, is this in the frozen section, or is it just like Jiffy
nope.
Pop?
Just like Jiffy Pop, almost. And they smell delicious. Yeah, made by Lowry's. Lowres.
Would you eat those, Joe?
Sorry, my daughter was talking to me. What was the question?
Would you eat microwave pop pork rinds?
What would I eat pork rinds?
Microwave pork rinds.
Well, the answer is the same.
You don't eat pork rinds?
No. I've tried them. I'm not a fan.
Now, cracklings, that'll break your fucking teeth.
Yeah, wait, most of mine are aftermarket anyway.
Cracklings, pork cracklings, are essentially what a pork rind is before you puff it up.
Carolina Gold Nuggets. Microwave pork puffies, bacon puffs, original, 16 ounces, $18.
Look at the calorie count on it. I want to know.
Oh, you're asking me to look at the calorie count? Hold on.
There's the microwave pork rind.
I'm trying to. I'm looking at the. I'm trying to see.
There we go.
Oh, 60
only
80
calories. That's low calorie.
The bagged fried pork rinds from Carolina Gold Nuggets are only 60 calories per half ounce serving. 14 grams.
Now, they're 80 calories per serving on this one that Joel sent, but they're 50 of those calories are from fat.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
So oh, wait. Microwave pork rinds. What will they think of next?
Only 15 calories from fat on the Carolina Gold.
Oh, yeah, yeah. One.
Look at that.
I got this Lowry's Bacon Curls. It's 60 calories yep. per serving, 15 calories from fat. That's not bad at all. How much protein? 10 grams of protein per 60 calories. That's actually insane. That's insanely good.
Wait a second.
Now you know why like, I like it sounds them every like once those in a while. Things,
those things are just the Carolina Gold Nuggets put in a different bag.
Yeah.
Because that's the exact same nutritional information.
They're called chicharrones.
And that's the Walmart one?
Lowry's
one. That looks like it's on sale.
A snack made from fried pork skin or pork belly.
It's good.
Also known as pork rinds.
There's a flea market that you pass on the way to. Well, that makes me wonder if they're going to still exist anymore. But there was this flea market that was on the way between Knoxville and Pigeon Forge. But at the same exit where this flea market is, they put a Buc-ee's in. And I know Joe knows what Buc-ee's is.
Yes. There's one right up the road.
Makes you want to go get a brisket sandwich.
No, they got, like, really good peanut butter fudge there.
You ever get any of their jerky?
Yeah, it's actually pretty decent.
They literally have a wall of beef jerky and pretty much any kind of flavor you want.
Yeah, basically they have all the road food you could ever ask for.
I don't think they have anyone near me.
Not yet.
But this is
Ohio doesn't even have one yet. I will make my homage to Buc-ee's in Kentucky. Because there's one in Richmond, Kentucky that I drive right by. And Buc-ee's is better than Sheetz or Wawa. My opinion. Well, for different reasons. Buc-ee's is bigger, for one. They have incredibly clean bathrooms.
It looks like the closest one to me is in Florence, South Carolina.
Now, here's something I'm going to do. We have a family Christmas party every year. This year, I think I'm going to do an order from Seltzer's, Dan, and do a Pennsylvania-themed charcuterie board.
There you go.
So I have some of the Seltzer's snackers, you know, the chunks of Lebanon bologna. Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
And the Chipotle one, too. Those ones are good. Can't get the Chipotle here at all, but I can get the regular and the sweet. You like the sweet one or the regular one, Dan, for Lebanon bologna? Or both?
Every time I've had Lebanon bologna, it's kind of been on the sweet side. What's it?
Maybe Dad just brought
the sweet. Is it like sweet and sweeter?
Well, maybe that's it. I don't know. I know the sweet version does taste sweeter, for sure. For me, I definitely notice a difference. And I don't really have a preference. I like them both.
I'd be interested to try, see if there is a difference, or if maybe I've only ever had the sweet kind. Because Lebanon bologna to me has always kind of been on the sweet side.
I did have a chance. They have one called Smoke and Honey, Lebanon Bologna. That one's pretty good. But see, some of the varieties, you know, you could, if you can find South Lebanon Bologna in your area, it's usually either the original or the sweet, and that might be as far as you can go. I have tried both the jerky and the sticks that they make, and the only place I've ever seen has been at the outlet store. The jerky is just like if you made beef jerky from Lebanon Bologna. It's so good. It's like meat candy. And the beef sticks are just like little versions of the, you know, of the Lebanon Bologna.
Where do you get the beef stick?
Only at Seltzer's, again. I've not seen them anywhere but there.
I didn't even know they existed.
Yep.
Yum, 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 yum.
Then John Cope's corn, man. You make it every year for Thanksgiving, don't you?
I do.
I make it more than just Thanksgiving. Speaking of that, I got to double check. I might be out of Cope's corn. Oh, shit. How much is it now? Like $300?
Right. Hanover Foods, John Cope's dried sweet corn. Direct from them. Three packs is $12. A 12-pack is $48.
Yeah, but you see, here's the problem, right? If you go to Amazon, you can get a 4-pack for $27, right? Now, that's twice the price, more than twice the price from John Cope. But if you order from that Hanover market, it's like $10-$15 in shipping anyway. And it's like, I'm not really
Amazon better deal on that. 4-pack is $27.45.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Now, what's the difference between the dried and the one in the can?
So the dried is, you can make the one in the can with the dried, but you can also right. do like corn pudding or corn cake,
yeah.
Or like there's like four or five different things that you can do with the, with that right there, the golden sweet corn. It's just, it's good, but it's I'm guessing it's closer to like. What is it? Creamed corn? I think it is. Yeah, I think.
Right.
Closer like creamed corn.
Interesting.
Like the corn pudding that I. Not the corn. The baked corn supreme is more like a souffle kind of thing.
Oh, and that's what you make with it.
That's what I make. And then there's the corn. I was wait. Do I have a bag of it down here? Hold on.
I can see the recipe on the side of the bag. It says, to avoid spoilage, do not soak longer than 1 hour at room temperature before cooking.
I do not. I guess I better order some next paycheck.
There you go. Yeah,
maybe I have some upstairs.
Thanksgiving's coming.
I thought I had another bag of it. I love that stuff. Ooh, dude, it's so damn expensive.
I still gotta buy Halloween candy.
Me too. I haven't bought any yet.
That's 2 weeks away. You got time. Plenty of time.
Yeah, I don't want to get too soon because then it'll get raided.
That's yeah, true. Oh, that's yeah, the exact same reason why I haven't bought mine yet.
There'll be Reese's in it, and then there won't be Reese's in it, and I'll be like 2 pounds heavier.
Mm-hmm. It's like Monday. There's a the group that I'm a part of, and there's another group that have their Bible studies at church on Mondays, and the lady, well, lady, girl, because she's still a girl for me, because when I first met her, she was 16, but she runs a group now. She brought this big old bag of Halloween candy and gave us a bowl of it. I'm like, oh, God. I'm like, I'll take a Kit Kat and a Reese cup, and that's it. That's all I'm taking. Because thankfully, the Kit Kats are smaller than the regular Kit Kats, you know. And in my house, I think I'm going to do what we did last year, but I had to buy two boxes last year, and we still ran out. I just went to the candy aisle at Sam's Club and bought two boxes of full-size bars. And the kids always hit my house. And they do not toilet paper it.
This year, give out Brussels sprouts. I promise they'll paper it. Chocolate-covered Brussels sprouts.
I saw that post. That's funny.
That sounds wrong.
Guess what I got yesterday?
Chocolate-covered Brussels sprouts?
No, Android 15. The Pixel update for Android 15 finally hit yesterday.
Can you see any major difference?
Gonna be honest, no. It did. There is one, and I haven't figured out how to do it yet. But say, like, it's probably more for people who hand their phone to children. But, like, if you have, like, your work MFA app or, like, apps that are not for children on your phone and you don't want your kids getting into them, you can put those in a special area that where I guess you either had to put your thumbprint in or your pin code in order to unlock those apps. That's one thing. Other than that, it's a lot of bug fixes and little things here and there. Honestly, the Rancor that went out when the Pixel 9 series launched without a major OS update was just unwarranted, because honestly, major updates aren't as major as they used to be. And that's for a good reason. That's because Android is now mature, unlike where it used to be. Boy, this must be another trend here. Like, I saw this on Amazon, where they had the Hi-B R4 M3 MP4 Spotify player with Bluetooth and Wi-Fi 4-way. It's basically got a Wish.com kind of listing. But it's an interesting device which has a super large battery and has a scalable memory all the way up, storage all the way up to 2 terabytes for $249. It's basically a hi-fi, if you have a place you want to play your FLAC audio on, this would be the one. And it's got a high quality like amplifier and stuff like that. But it ships with Android 12. I'm like, why are you only shipping with Android 12? That's only what? 3 releases behind now?
That is old, isn't it?
It is.
And you're never going to get anything beyond Android 12, are you?
I guarantee you, you won't.
But will it really matter in the long run, you think?
It depends on if you use it for anything secure.
Yeah.
The nice thing with these things is they'll have a regular headphone jack. But not only will they have that, but they'll also have the 4.4-millimeter ones, the big fatty headphone jacks for the nicer headphones.
How big is it, the device?
It's a beast, man. Here, let me paste it in the chat.
Because I was going to say, it has the that old big ass style. It's got to be pretty big.
There you go. Yeah, it's a beast.
Looks like a damn Walkman.
Yeah.
It's too big.
Yeah, that's what I think too. I guess it depends on how much. If you're an audiophile, you're not listening to audio on an Android-based device. Or an iOS-based device. You're not. You're using something like. And you're not using MP3 or streaming service.
Goodness gracious, $250?
Yeah. Cheaper than your phone was.
Yeah, barely. But my phone can make phone calls and.
Right? See, that's why I don't get. I mean, like, who's buying these things? I'm like.
Does it play OG?
I would imagine it would. Should.
Well, let me see.
It's Android based, so if you got an OG player on the App Store, you can get it. Well, that's the other thing, too. I don't know if this comes with the Google Play Store.
Yeah, I was just about to say, is it going to have.
You could sideload it, though.
If you can on this device.
I'm going to be honest, I kind of like the default one that showed up in the listing with the white and the orange. Because they had like a black one, an all black one, a silver one, a green one. But I kind of like the default colors. Those look nice.
I wish it had a specification. Features and specs. Okay. Well, that doesn't tell me anything.
I see nothing on here about what formats it plays.
SD665 octa-core, which is some Chinesium. High-res audio player supports playback of up to DSD256 native PCM 678 kilohertz 32-bit audio specifications, MQA 16 unfolding. It pioneers the use of PCM DSD dual circuitry in portable music player and blah blah blah. But then it also supports Bluetooth.
Yeah, but does it support OG? Can I play Opus on this thing? Speaks?
Yes, you can play those.
How do you know? I don't see anything that's
loaded in there. An app, dude. It's not hard.
I just said to you before, maybe you can't load an app. Maybe it doesn't have a store on it. Maybe you can't get
you
a store.
You can always sideload the Google Play Store.
And maybe
Play
you
store.
Can't sideload because or it's
Android.
Restricted.
Well, considering it's probably coming from China, so yeah. That may be a point.
What's the negative review say? Can't download my files from a disk, and most option of this player is locked. Yeah, people are complaining it's hard to move files from the device to the device from
because they're retarded.
You don't know that. Like it's not showing up as I don't know. Maybe they're using Windows 95. Who do I know? We gotta play.
Yeah.
We gotta play out. Some of us gotta get up and work out tomorrow, right?
I didn't got to do that, but I don't have to work because I'm on vacation the rest of the week.
No, enjoy it.
I'm not going to get a deal, dog.
Wait, are you doing that because you're going to a fair?
Correct, I'm not going to get one.
Oh, so that's why you took vacation, so you can go to a fair?
Yes and no. I had a vacation to burn, too.
Oh, well, there you go.
All right, well, you enjoy yourself. Get yourself a sticky pickle or whatever it is since you're not getting a dill dog.
No, I'll get a pumpkin burger.
There you go. Knock yourself out. And with that, we're going to play. Here we go.
I am Dave. Short.
Oh, my God.
It's Hacker Public
Radio.
Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? With my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen, and I was in the dining room having sushi.
I'm going to assume a pumpkin burger is just like a slice of pumpkins.
No. No, it's more like a sloppy joe, but with pumpkin and pumpkin pie spice.
Oh, okay, that's right. Now I remember you
it's
talking
about it.
It's
pretty good, too. That, and they have pumpkin chili, too.
You must love like your pumpkin.
They got pumpkin everything. I haven't seen pumpkin pizza recently, which is a good thing, because when I did, it had cheese on it. It's like, why? I'm like,
you don't like pumpkin and cheese?
Well, it's just gross. No, they should have just made it a sweet pumpkin pizza, you know, with like streusel or something on top. But no. Now, granted, pumpkin doesn't have to be sweet. Like, pumpkin ravioli generally isn't that sweet.
Pumpkin, if you cook it right, tends to take on the flavor of whatever you're cooking it with. So you can make
generally,
it taste like
yes.
just about anything.
Generally, yes. Pumpkin ravioli is
in
delicious.
A lot of recipes, it acts as a filler, it's extra fiber, and you don't even taste that it's there.
It depends, yeah. How much allspice you put in.
That's what it looks like when you pull it out of the can, right, Joe? Something out of a Depends.
Yeah, a little bit.
Got that going. Got this going. Doing this. Okay, well, we're not doing that one on there, so we got... That doesn't matter. Yeah, this thing's going. Ooh, this thing's going bad. Anyway, you got something to say, Joe? Speak up, son. HTTPS/hardchats.com. Hard chats. It's the hottest new IRC server, I guess.
Is it? The hottest new IRC server from 1996?
You know it. It's where everybody's hanging out these days. All right. You still riding your bike?
All right, the second, I'm not.
No, I mean like on a regular basis.
Not as often as I should be, but it's a little bit colder now. I do got this exercise bike.
That's cool. Oh, were you able to see the comet yesterday? Or the day before yesterday?
I did not look.
Yeah, we were able to see it just a little. It looked like a smudge in the sky, but the more you looked at it, the more detail you could see because your eyes would adjust. But yeah, once every 8,000 years. 800,000 years. It'll be back.
I'll just have to wait for the next time.
Yeah, it's next comet. Yep. But I'm sure there'll be plenty more. Do you see the Northern Lights where you are?
Oh.
Okay. Because sometimes they did. Like my mother, like where my mother-in-law lives in South Carolina, they can see them down there. depending on the weather. And it's kind of interesting because they said that sometimes you can't see them with your eye, but if you take a picture with your camera, it'll show up on the camera. You can see the streaks of the Northern Lights. But that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, where am I?
Okay, what do I got here? What do I got here? Got that, got that. And there we are. This is 1072. And since Joel probably show up soon, I guess we'll start. So you'll get your weekly dose of CPAP
and hiking.